Good morning. I'm Chuck Hinman, in for Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. As we approach the 10th anniversary of the Station nightclub fire, a groundbreaking ceremony was held yesterday to turn that site into a park. Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick reports.
Wearing pink helmets and wielding child-sized shovels, survivors and relatives of the Station fire victims broke ground on a new park where the nightclub once stood.
One, two, three.
Gina Russo, president of the Station Fire Memorial Fund, thanked former property owner Raymond Villanova for donating the land.
He finally honored us by giving us this land, so we thank him. We don't want him to be forgotten in this day because he's the reason why we're getting ready to build our memorial.
Governor Lincoln Chafee acknowledged the pain that still haunts the victims' families a decade later.
To those whose lives have been forever changed by what occurred at this place, I know that mere words will be of little comfort. I know that even 10 years on, your grief can sometimes feel as fresh as it did the moment you first heard the awful news.
Wednesday marks the 10th anniversary of the fire, which killed 100 people and injured more than 200. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Rhode Island 1st District Congressman David Cicilline is asking House Speaker John Boehner to keep Congress in session until a budget plan is reached which avoids the so-called sequestration. Cicilline says mandatory across-the-board cuts to federal programs would affect many aspects of life for Rhode Islanders.
The Federal Transportation Division and the air traffic controllers and law enforcement agencies at the federal level, there will be a tremendous impact because it's not being done in a thoughtful, precise way.
Democrat Cicilline says jobs in the defense industry are also at stake in the Ocean State if members of Congress do not reach a reasonable compromise on the federal budget. Work on the Providence Arcade is progressing rapidly. Building owner Evan Granoff says restoration work on the old shopping mall is now 80% complete and it should be ready for occupancy by sometime this spring. The arcade was built in 1828, and it's thought to be the oldest indoor shopping mall in the United States. It's being converted into small shops on the ground floor and even smaller apartments called micro lofts on the second and third floors. Granoff says he's got a waiting list, but declined to say how many names are on it.
Units start at $550 a month. There's 38 micro lofts that are, you know, will be priced under $1,000, and then there'll be 10 larger units, not that large, but ranging in size from 500 to 700 square feet that will be priced over $1,000.
The micro lofts come with a built-in bed, TV, microwave, and refrigerator. Stoves will not be allowed.
It's become an article of faith in Rhode Island. Among the self-styled government reform groups, most statewide elected politicians, and the chattering pundit classes, that our state needs to get rid of that relic of urban machine politics, the master lever. Never mind that the lever isn't even a lever anymore. It was called the master lever when we cast ballots on boxy metal voting machines that enclosed the voter behind a curtain. With one flick of a lever at the top of the machine, a voter could vote a straight party ticket without having to bother to click the levers next to the names of each individual candidate. When the state switched from voting machines to marking boxes on paper ballots, the master lever legacy survived as a single box on the ballot. Thus, a voter who desired to vote straight Democratic or straight Republican could do so by drawing a line connecting just one box, thus eliminating the need to go down the ballot and check each individual box next to a candidate name. The list of those supporting an end of the master box, that one-size-fits-all of electioneering, is long. It includes Governor Lincoln Chafee, Lieutenant Governor Elizabeth Roberts, Secretary of State Ralph Malas, General Treasurer Gina Raimondo, Ken Block, founder of the Moderate Party, and Democratic State Chairman Edward Pacheco. Block has been the most vocal, and with good reason. The future of his fledgling party depends on luring voters away from Rhode Island's traditional two-party fixation. Ditto for Chafee, who was once a Republican but won election to the State House as an independent in 2010. Block has some decent arguments. Allowing voters to check one box and vote for all candidates of a single party makes for lazy voters. It especially hurts independent and third-party candidates for such down-ballot offices as town council and school committee. And it wreaks havoc with nonpartisan elections in some communities for school committee. So who does the system help? Well, not surprisingly, General Assembly Democrats, who benefit particularly during presidential elections when a voter checks the Democratic Party box at the top of a ticket headed by a Democratic presidential candidate who usually wins in our cobalt blue state. A striking number of Rhode Islanders use the straight party option, including more than 100,000 voters in the 2012 election. So getting rid of the master box has become a proxy for the unelected elites and the business community to protest overwhelming Democratic control of the legislature. Providence Journal editorial columnist Edward Acorn says ending it will lead to more competitive elections and a better economy. It all sounds great. In a civics book political culture, things might change. But don't be surprised if we get rid of the master box and nothing much happens. First off, Rhode Islanders have long been ticket splitters when voters believe they have candidates worth crossing party lines for. This has been the case for eons. In 1964, Democratic presidential candidate Lyndon Johnson carried Rhode Island in a tsunami of a landslide. That year, Republican John Chafee was comfortably elected governor. In 1972, Republican Richard Nixon won Rhode Island's presidential vote, but Democratic United States Senator Claiborne Pell easily won re-election. As far as the economy goes, well, Rhode Island's economy was far better off when we were a 20th century manufacturing powerhouse, and our politics were far more partisan, crooked, and suffused with ethnic tribalism than today. The same unelected leaders and pundits who are now pushing an end to the master box told us that such changes as the Separation of Powers constitutional amendment that was designed to curb assembly prerogatives and four-year terms for governor would lead to political change. That hasn't happened. Here's why. No change in the conduct of elections can decisively alter a state's political culture. Ending the straight party voting option won't create a viable two-party system or lead apathetic citizens to suddenly take an interest in government. Change has come to the assembly in recent elections. The House in particular has become more liberal. This has occurred because progressive Democrats and their labor union allies have recruited winning candidates and vigorously contested conservative Democrats in primaries where there is no straight party voting. If you wonder why the House so overwhelmingly approved same-sex marriage this year, just look at the candidates who have won Democratic primaries in the last few election cycles. There are a number of voting changes that would help voters and increase turnout much more than eliminating the master box. These include early voting, getting rid of voter identification, and ensuring citizens don't have to stand in long lines to perform this basic duty of a democracy. Oh, and changing the primaries from September to May or June. So get rid of straight party voting. Just don't expect anything much to change. As even Ken Block says, it isn't going to solve the problems in the Republican Party, either locally or nationally.